From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us wherever you might be, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. This is Common Sense Radio for all of you gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorables out there. Now, I know many of you have been following the story developing out of New York City, and after 15 years of living in the Big Apple, about 2 months ago, I evacuated from my home in Brooklyn and came back down south, and we are currently broadcasting our radio program from our Southern Command in Memphis, Tennessee, which is... Well, the crime here is comparable to what's happening in New York City right now. But folks, I'm telling you, what's happened in New York over the past 3 months, it's an abomination, and people ought to be held accountable. There is a report out that almost 500,000 New Yorkers have fled the city, have gone somewhere else. Murders up 23%, burglaries 119%, shooting victims up 51%. And the New York City Police Department has been targeted. Well, one of the few brave souls on the New York City Council who is willing to stand up and to talk about this is on our newsmaker line right now. He is a city councilman from Staten Island, Joe Borelli. Joe, what an honor to have you with us today.
Oh, boy, Todd, when I saw the number come up on my phone just now, I was actually hoping it was a realtor from Tennessee trying to get me out of my house right as we speak.
Come on down, Joe. We don't have a state income tax, no city income tax. It's paradise.
Oh, I can only imagine. I got 5 years left, and then we'll talk.
Joe, I want to ask you a question that is on the minds of many people, because, you know, a lot of folks from the southern states, the Midwest, they love to go to New York City in the summertime and you know, do the tourist thing. Is it safe for families to come to New York City right now?
No, it's not. And it actually, I don't take joy, you know, in saying that. Some of the precincts where we saw an uptick in violence are the Midtown Manhattan, Midtown North precincts. I mean, these are places that are on the tourist list of places to stop and see and experience. This is not some obscure part of central Brooklyn where, you know, people might have heard that there's a problem. Nope. This is happening right where people like to visit. In fact, the encampment, the anti-police encampment and riots are happening right at the foot of the Brooklyn Bridge. I mean, a must-do on any tourist list is going over the Brooklyn Bridge. Right where that bridge hits Manhattan is this encampment of just the most vile, angry, leftist, and vandalizing people you've ever met.
You know, I lived in downtown Brooklyn on Flatbush, and you probably know this area well with the new Target City Point development. And we're talking about apartments that go for $4,000 or $5,000 a month. So it's a nice neighborhood. But, Joe, I got to tell you, right before I decided to make the move, it was getting a little dicey even in that area of town.
Well, that's the thing, Todd. I mean, you know, New York City did very well by frankly, my predecessors in the city council. Be them Democrat and Republican. We had, obviously, Mayor Giuliani, we had Mayor Bloomberg, but we had Democrats who led the city elsewhere who actually did a decent job in managing that line between sort of the broader progressive agenda and, you know, making sure the police were still doing their darned job. And now we've just abandoned that, and we've chased this far-left pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and we're trying to build this world where police, you know, police actions are all friendly and non-confrontational, and this idea that the police are bad in the first place, or if we have less police, somehow that makes our city better. This is the new world. So a neighborhood like Flatbush, downtown Brooklyn, that saw 2 decades of growth and families moving in and out and good schools and all the things you'd come here for, it's over. It's over, Todd. You know, it just stinks.
What are you hearing from the rank and file of the NYPD? Are they retiring? Are they leaving the force, getting out of town?
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult. Look, this cuts to the NYPD are very palpable, especially when you're talking about NYPD overtime. So the secret is that the NYPD is actually very underpaid compared to regional police departments. It gets made up for in the fact that there's so much overtime, there's so many events that happen, there's so much crime, and cops have to go from place to place, and they get paid overtime. So cutting overtime this much has actually impacted a lot of regular, good old New York working families who are making less ends meet. Add to that the whole anti-police drama, this idea that the NYPD is somehow responsible for systemic, I mean, that's their word, right? Systemic, it's system-wide, that the NYPD is responsible for systemic violence. And the department under Mayor de Blasio has pulled back. They pulled back some of their most aggressive and proactive units. They've banned chokeholds at the city level. Now, at the state level, we did a chokehold ban, and it passed with bipartisan support. Because if a cop out of nowhere decides to chokehold someone, that's wrong. The city went further and basically made a law that prohibits cops from taking any sort of police action or risk a misdemeanor themselves. So you compound all these things, and you have a new environment where cops are not only underpaid, but they're underappreciated, and they're treated as vile bringers of violence to the communities they serve. So excuse them if a lot of them are saying, you know what, now it's time, I'm going to put my retirement papers, I'm going to move to the Carolinas or Florida or elsewhere, and that's that. And a lot of my friends are.
Joe Borelli on the Newsmaker line, a member of the New York City Council, one of the good guys on a council full of lunatics. Was it Corey Johnson? This is a guy that wanted to kick out Franklin Graham because he was helping people, you know, with the coronavirus. I mean, these are some pretty bad people that you have to serve alongside on that city council.
Look, you know, there are some good people who I've dealt with over the years that are liberals and progressives. But something happened. I don't know what happened with the water. We always had good tasting water in New York City, but something must have happened with the water because as of this year, they all went completely off the rails where they're willing to risk everything the city worked for, everything the citizens of this city appreciated. And they threw it all away first in January with our state's bail reform law. Now in New York State, unless you're accused of the most heinous, violent, sexual-type crime, you are getting out not only with high bail, you're actually getting out of jail with no bail. So that was the first sort of tip of the spear of this snowballing effect of problems this year. But you're right. I mean, this new crop of far-left politicians that are scared to death, they are scared to death of AOC and the primary opponents that she could bring against them, and they act like people who are scared of AOC would, and they pass these nonsensical, poorly thought out policies like defund the police. Right. Think about the timeline. The city budget got passed June 30th. George Floyd happened in May. It was only a matter of weeks that these crazy leftists decided we're going to institute a policy of defunding the police. This wasn't some thought out thing over the past year. How can we do this? How can we roll back the budget a bit? This was just chasing a progressive, wacky hashtag that was being spewed by people who are vandalizing and looting their own communities. And yet that's what drove policy. That's the difference between now and some of the progressives and liberals of the past.
Joe, where does all of this end? And you know, I lost in this conversation have been the number of small mom and pop businesses that were having to shut down because of the COVID-19. They can't reopen again. What is this city going to look like in 5 or 6 months?
Well, we have a very short-term budget crisis. We lost about $9 billion in revenue in 1 year. So we're struggling to actually keep the lights on in New York City. The long-term effect is, and you've already seen this a little bit, and you already mentioned it in the opening of the segment, people are starting to leave. You know, we actually can track by our Department of Sanitation how much household waste is being distributed or put out in front of the curb. And we know that in middle-class to upper-middle-class white neighborhoods in New York City, people have left. They've just gone. In some neighborhoods, 10% less, 20% less. Where you used to live, it's probably 5% less. Upper West Side of Manhattan, they were down like 25%. People are just leaving. So these businesses that relied on high real estate prices, higher-income customers, they're not going to be able to sustain themselves in the long term, even if we open up everything tomorrow as it was. And that's the crisis that New York is going to face over the whole entire next generation.
It's sad. I love the city. I'm not from there, you know, but as a Southerner, it was a fun place. And I really hope it's not the water, Joe, because one of the things I learned, you know, I'm fluent in bagel and biscuit. The secret to the good pizza dough and the bagel is the water.
It's the water.
It's the water is what they say. And and never order a Domino's pizza in New York City. That's what I was also told.
Oh, no. Look, you should be proud that you lived in New York during its renaissance. Really, you should.
Yeah. Are we going to get another leader like Rudy to step in and clean all of this up? Do you think that's going to be possible?
I hope so. I hope it happens before I join the millions of people who left. And that's... That's a sad calculation that the Borelli family, my family, will have to make.
All right. Joe Borelli, great American patriot, New York City councilman. Joe, God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. It's really sad. I mean, it really is sad when you think about what's happening to this city. And I don't know. It's elections have consequences, folks. They certainly do. All right. We got to take a break here. By the way, we didn't have a chance to talk about this. We were off on Friday. But the National Football League, I just don't understand what these people are thinking. So the NFL has just announced that for week one games, they will be playing the Black National Anthem before the football games. And I don't know how all of this is going to go down. But if they're going to make people stand up and sing a hand over heart, in my estimation, we have one anthem. It's called the Star Spangled Banner. Everything else is just a song. My question is, what will you do? Are you, first of all, are you still watching the NFL? Are you going to go to the games? Have you decided you're going to boycott? Because honestly, I think that's the only way. That's the only way to get through to these numbskulls. But what happens, and just think about this, what happens if a football player takes a knee during that anthem? What do you think is going to happen then? 844-747-8868, our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hey, some exciting news. All of you folks listening to us on The Talk Station, I'm going to be coming to town. That's right. This coming weekend, keep in mind, I have been invited to be the keynote speaker at the North Carolina Republican Party prayer breakfast, but the governor canceled that. Can't have no Republicans praying to the Almighty, not in the Tar Heel State, I say. That's what I know. I don't know. I think that's what the governor sounds like. So anyway, even though the prayer breakfast was canceled, a local church in Greenville, North Carolina, has invited me to come and speak. And we'll be sharing more information about this tomorrow. But we would love to see you folks from over in the Morehead City, North Carolina area drop by and say hello to us. And it's going to be a fun day this coming Sunday in North Carolina. All right, let's get back to the phones. Little Rock, Arkansas. Keith, welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, Todd. I just found your show about 2 months ago. I'm on the road quite a bit, but really appreciate your show and your perspective and what you do. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Well, you're very kind to say that.
In regard to the NFL and their decision to play the Black National Anthem, last year I pretty much quit watching the NFL because of just the kneeling and their lack of desire to take a stand against that. And this just kind of doubles down on that. I won't be watching the NFL. I'm waiting, with crossed fingers that college football is going to come through for us to have something to watch. But it's just another reason not to watch the NFL. It's too commercialized. It's too everything. And everyone knows that what happened to George Floyd was wrong, and we should all come together and make appropriate changes. But I think the pendulum has swung way too far the other direction.
You know, Keith, I'm David Limbaugh is a good friend of mine, and he wrote something on Twitter a few days ago. He said, he's not a big fan of boycotts, But, you know, sometimes this is the only message these people get. And I'm with him on that. And I'm with you. I'm a big, you know, SEC football fan. I'm a Tennessee Volunteer. But I just can't in good conscience watch the NFL anymore.
I'm with you on that. And sorry that you have to, that you're a fan of the Tennessee Volunteers. We're Razorbacks through and through here. And but you guys will, maybe you'll come back one of these days. So anyway, appreciate it, Todd. Appreciate what you're doing. Thanks so much.
All right, Keith. Thank you. Yeah, we've sort of been in the wandering in the wilderness for a long time now. So fingers crossed. We were hoping for a good season this year. All right, let's go to Luther listening to us from Detroit, Michigan. Hi, Luther. What's going on?
Todd, how you doing today, bud?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Well, I was hearing we were talking about these two different anthems, and it's the first time I heard about it. In all honesty, I stopped watching the NFL when they were starting to let their players get away with beating their kids and beating their women, and that's just something I can never condone. Then when all this flag kneeling started, that just added, you know, the icing on the cake. So what concerns me, if you're going to have two anthems here, I wouldn't be more worried about which players are going to kneel for what. But if there's fans in the stands and they start kneeling, what are we looking at there?
We're looking at chaos, and that's what they want, you know, Keith. When those, again, that's what this is about. I mean, this is about setting up some sort of an altercation, and that's why, you know, a couple of months ago when they were showing up at the state capitol with the firearms, look, I'm a Second Amendment guy here, but I think you need to be smart. And you got to make sure you're not putting yourself in a position where you are being set up. One person sets something off, fires something, and the next thing you know, you got a lot of people shooting guns. And you got to be careful. You got to be smart about these kinds of things. And that's what troubles me about all of this.
Yeah, that's, you know, we're brought up to be smart with weapons. But just because you have the right to do it doesn't mean you need to do it, especially not like that. It's just asking for problems.
You're absolutely right, and that's what troubles me, Luther. I mean, you know, we are living in this is a powder keg moment in American history, and look, as far as I know, we have one national anthem. But if you're going to introduce the Black national anthem, what about the Hispanic national anthem, the Asian American national? I mean, where do you stop with all of this stuff?
It's just something to divide even more. And it's just like they just keep adding more and more reasons to divide even more. It's like, I want to go back to the 90s, Todd.
Well, that's, or the 80s. I just, you know, that I thought we had things pretty good back in the 80s, but apparently not. I don't know. Hey, look, Luther, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for listening, and be safe up there in Detroit, Michigan. Hey, look, I was telling you about these two young ladies who wrote this amazing song about President Trump. And we're going to play a little bit of that coming back. And remind me, Caleb, before we go, if we're going to have to come up with a new national anthem, I may have a suggestion. So, Caleb, just remind me because I will forget. Camille and Haley. You're going to love these two. You got to stick around. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Keep going with the song here.
One,
I want to hear
two,
the chorus.
Three, four. There will never be another USA.
All right. right, guys. Get ready.
Freedom won't come back if we give it away. It's time to vote. It's time to pray. If you love your flag, let me see it wave. Vote Trump.
Vote Trump.
2020. Vote Trump.
Vote Trump.
2020.
Oh, this is great.
Vote Trump. 2020.
Avery's not giving me any backup here. He just started laughing.
I think Avery's a Democrat.
No, I am not a Democrat.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I heard someone sent me this song a couple of weeks ago, right around when President Trump was in Tulsa for the big rally. And I told our booker, JP, I'm like, we got to get these ladies on the show. They're just terrific individuals, great American patriots from, believe it or not, based out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. They are sisters, Camille and Haley.com is the website. We also have a link to their video on our live show blog. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Hey.
Hi.
Oh, this is an awesome song. I tell you, I was so excited to hear this. So tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you guys got started in the music business.
Hey, well, we've been doing music for 9 years. We're from Tulsa, Oklahoma. We come from a big family of musical people. Our family, our mom and our dad are songwriters, and they've been pastors in the past. And so dad has really encouraged our giftings young. And so we just started doing private parties over the years, and people just started hiring us. And, yeah, we just kept going from there.
So you mentioned a large musical family, 10 members of the family. Is that brothers and sisters, mom and dad? That's a
yep.
big family.
Yeah, five girls.
Five girls, three boys.
Is that right? Now, did you know early on this is what you wanted to do? You wanted to write music and perform?
Oh, my. Haley has always...
We're like 10, right?
I was 10 when my dad put a guitar in my hands and said, this is your first four chords. And Haley was 13. She started singing in the kitchen, and dad just was like, no way, we've got another super in the family. And, like, he just called all the family. And so... I just was a songwriter. I'm Camille, and I didn't ever think about, I didn't know that people sold tickets to concerts. I didn't know anything. I just was writing songs, you know. And so, but Haley always kind of saw the stage in her view.
Well, so, I think the music is so much fun. So who wrote the song about President Trump?
Well, my dad, okay, so here's a cool story. My dad, years ago, we wrote a song for Rick Santorum called Game On. That went to a million views, and that kind of got us into politics and political singing and Republican watch parties and all that kind of stuff. And so he was like, sing Game On. And then years later, 8 years later, or 7 years, my dad said, hey, you really need to write a song for President Trump. And so this was about a year ago. And I was like, okay, Dad, I'll do it. And so he's like, hey, how about Keep America Great or something like that, you know, maybe the exact thing it was. And so then he left, and I just kept writing, and Haley is, like, the most awesome editor ever. And so we've written, like, 5 albums of music, and she just, like, she takes anything I start, and she's just like, nope, that doesn't sound good enough. Let me fix it for you. Or she likes it, whatever. And so then, and then when Trump came to Tulsa, we're like, this is a perfect time to put this song out, you know, kind of be some excitement for the relaunching of the campaign for post-COVID. And so it has been so much fun, and I'm really happy we put it out when we did.
Now, Haley, I understand you guys, it looked like y'all were out there among the people. What was the reaction to from the Trump fans?
Do you mean like at the Trump rally?
Yeah, at the Trump rally.
I don't know. There's a lot of people who are really excited. And I don't know. It was the most exhilarating moment of my life going into the Trump rally because we'd never seen a president in person. And to have so many other people around thinking probably some of the same things as us, it was just so fun, so cool.
Actually, there's people waiting outside of the rally for several days. And so we had gone out there to do our music video, right. And we hired a videographer. And so we were just hoping that the people that were waiting would be willing to be our crowd, you know, for the last, like, big scene. And, like, about half of them came and helped us, and they held signs. We got from the GOP headquarters in Tulsa, we asked them, can we please get some signs and some flags and some shirts and hats? And so they were so kind and let us loaned us out the stuff. And so, they were excited. So,
now, how old? Now, how you got you? Both of you are fairly young. How old are you, ladies?
We look really young, and we are young, but we're 28 and 26.
27 next month.
Y'all are, yeah, just babies, just very, very, very young. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And so, but again, so you're not only, I guess you're part of Generation Z, not necessarily millennials, but I'm curious to know why, as a young person, a young American, you're supporting this president.
Oh, my. Okay. So I'm Camille, and I study his policies. You know, I'm on the whitehouse.gov, which is like one of my favorite websites now. I look at what he does. I went on Planned Parenthood, and they told me all I needed to know about why I should vote for Trump. They're like, he's doing this, and he's doing that, and he's trying to make life at conception. And I'm like, praise the Lord, that's exactly what I want to hear. You know, they're like, this could change everything for us. And I'm like, yes, and it will. You know, so hopefully it does. And he's very pro-life. He's the first sitting president that's gone to March for Life in 2020. First sitting president that sent a video to March for Life, you know, addressing them in 2018. And the people he surrounds himself with, Christian people, our press secretary, amazing Christian woman, his vice president. No one can say a bad word against our vice president, you know, and just continually pushing forward with godly policies and amazing things, putting prayer, you know, back in schools, making it so that people are not discriminated against, you know, for their religion and things. And so it's just, he's doing so much for life, so much for people of God, stopping the IRS from targeting, you know, churches, also, you know, going against big tech censorship of conservative, you know, ideas and talk. And of course, you've seen a lot of that. Everyone knows now that there's, you know, a lot of censorship going on. It's not fair on both sides. So it's just, it's amazing what he's doing for our country. And we're just like, I don't think people are seeing the full picture. And people wonder, they question, why are you voting for Trump? And, you know, it's just like, oh, I have so many reasons. Like, it's on our website. It's on our website yet? No,
well,
it's on our video,
but also go to promiseskept.com and you'll see it all.
I know. So he just does things all the time that are pro-America, pro-God, you know, and it's just, and pro-life, and we love that.
This is very excited. Looking at your website here, CamilleandHaley.com. Ladies, do you you have a lot of your music there, and so you do a lot of other kinds of songs, and Haley, I understand that one of your goals in life is to play Rapunzel on a Disney cruise?
Yes, some people have found that, and like, that's so specific, you know, that hasn't been updated in a while, but I still would like to do that if that's available, because she's my princess, so.
Well, we'll see if we can make this happen. I don't, you know, ladies, one of the things that we try to do on our program, we are just blessed with an incredible staff. Avery, our call screener, turn your microphone on, please. Avery is a college student, 19, and he is a good church going. He plays in the church worship band. Is this right, Avery?
Yes, sir. I play the drums.
Plays the drums. He's a good Christian young man from the South. And, you know, we try to play matchmaker. So I don't know if you have any younger sisters. You know,
we do. We have a 20-year-old.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Our 20-year-old sister, she works at Disney World. And when her friends found out that she was a conservative, they tried to get her fired from her job.
She was in the video. We got almost 30 million views on our live version outside the Beauty Center. And they said, this is Rayma Harris.
Wow.
She works at Kilimanjaro Safari on Twitter. Do your thing. Get her fired.
Yeah,
you know.
So she needs a conservative boyfriend.
Yes. Big time.
Oh, well, I think, okay, Avery,
yes,
I think
sir.
We might have a match here.
Avery and Rima, love it. That's awesome.
You're too kind.
All right, very good. Ladies, again, congratulations. Wow, this took a weird turn. Congratulations. We're going to direct a lot of traffic to your page, and we're very excited about the great work you're doing. And do you have any albums out or anything yet, or is it just music online?
Yeah, okay, we have 5 albums we've written since 2011 and recorded, and we're going to make a patriotic album next, so if anybody wants to give towards that or fund a song, hey, it's $1,000 a song, so that's a lot of money, but yeah, we have 5 albums, if anybody wants to go get those. Some Trump supporters are being so kind to us, people are giving us tips and $20 for a song, we're like, wow, thank you, people really love Trump and want to see, you know, young people supporting him. So Bandcamp, you can go find all our links on our video, our YouTube videos that shows you where to get music. So we really appreciate it.
Yeah. And if you just look up Keep America Great song, it's on YouTube. Probably
Keep America Great. And then thesisterduo.com is an easy way to find us.
Fantastic. Ladies, congratulations. Best of luck to you out there. You've got an incredible amount of talent, and you're going to go far.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you having us on your show. I just saw the email this morning. I was like, yes, sign us up. So
wonderful. All right. Camille and Haley, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be playing some more of their music along the way here. Great American patriots supporting the president. But, you know, it's all about that family. And I love hearing the story. You know, again, this is they come from a musical family of 10. Their father, a pastor. And that's, you know, they were leading worship in the church. That's where it all starts. All right. We've got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. Toll free number 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what, I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too, and if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul.
Well, I gotta tell you, one of the lasting images of Charlie Daniels, you know, he was a big Nashville Predators fan. He was a hockey fan. And Charlie Daniels down on the ice playing that fiddle in Nashville, Tennessee. I got to tell you, a lot of people just saying incredibly nice and wonderful things about Charlie Daniels, who passed away earlier today at the age of 83 years old. My goodness. You know, we have a lot of fun on the radio program, and we try to talk about the big issues of the day. And I tell you, folks, it's tough. It really is tough, and I get it. But we got to work through all of this nonsense, and we're going to keep doing our very best, and because we owe it to people like Charlie Daniels, you know, an American patriot who wasn't afraid to get out there and say what needed to be said. You know, he was very unpopular among some people in country music because he spoke the truth to the culture. But we've got to be willing to do that. We have to. And if we don't, then we're going to lose this country. I mean, look, I'm a hopeful person, but the reality is if enough of us don't stand up and invoke that inner Charlie Daniels, we are going to lose the country. So got to buck up. Man up, America. Do the right thing. So. By the way, back to this national anthem thing at the football games, the National Football League needs to lay down the law. We have one national anthem in this country. It's called the Star-Spangled Banner. And if you're not going to stand and honor the national anthem, if you're not going to follow the rules and regulations of the National Football League, then you can go do something else with your life. Go play Canadian football. See how that works out for you. But they don't have people large and in charge in the National Football League. Right now, you have the employees telling the employers what to do. That's not going to work. So anyway, we had a caller from Arkansas, and it's a valid concern. What's going to happen when people in the stands, and you know they're going to do it, what's going to happen when they take a knee during the Black National Anthem? What do you think is going to happen in those stands? What do you think is going to happen to players who take a knee on the on the sideline during that national anthem? Now, all that to say, I love the Star-Spangled Banner, but Caleb, in my estimation, if it comes to the point where we have to come up with a new national anthem, I'd like to nominate this song.
What this world needs is a few more rednecks.
Yes, sir.
So people ain't afraid to take a stand. What this world needs is a little more respect for the Lord and the law and the working man.
We could use a little peace and satisfaction. So good people up front take the lead. A little less talk and a little more action. And a few more rednecks is what we need.
Play ball! Wouldn't that be a nice... And here, at the baseball park.
And here I thought you were going to pick Freebird.
No, no. It's hard to sing to.
The Star Spangled Banner is not the easiest song to sing to.
It's a tough song.
You got to hit that high note at the end there.
It's tough. And you can kind of figure out if the singer's going to be able to hit that note right out of the gate.
Well, you always you got to start low. Mm-hmm. You got to start low, and that allows you to sort of work your way into it.
Avery, did you get a telephone number?
You know what, Todd? No, I did not.
Well, you said Avery.
He didn't push hard enough. We got to turn him into a go-getter. Like we can work hard for him, but at some point he has to make a move of his own.
Avery, I was setting it up for you.
Well, hold on. I did tell them feel free to call back to the show anytime.
Oh, left so he left the door open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was smart.
It's cracked, so you're not open, but I mean it's open.
They may open, but it's open.
One of these days, Avery, this is all going to pay off, and we're going. You watch, your spouse could be a listener of this radio program.
I know. I'm waiting.
The future Mrs. Call Screener.
I don't know if I like the sound of that. I mean, I'm fine, you know, with having a Mrs. Obviously, but I mean, I don't know if.
Well, still, I mean, you got to take advantage of it, man.
Oh, of course.
That's why I was asking their ages. Yeah, I was already probing. I'm like,
As soon as you told me to turn my microphone on, I knew exactly where you were going with this.
Yeah,
but I do appreciate the help.
He started like slumping in his chair.
You know, we could actually make this a part of the big Todd Stearns Christmas show. You know, we tape a 2-hour Christmas show every year, and we're doing it again this year. And maybe we could do that like a segment, like Find Avery a Date.
Oh, gosh.
844-747-8868.
Nope. Looks like the show's coming to an end here about now. If you want to go ahead and click the off button, Caleb, we should be fine.
No, we got it. Let's let it linger just a little bit, just a smidge. All right, Avery, you're a good sport. Folks, been a lot of fun today. Crazy stories going. Really? It really is crazy, isn't it? But we're going to get through it. Hey, ToddStearns.com, folks. Check out our awesome podcast, newsletter, free of charge, will not cost you a penny, great downloads. Get out there. Have a great day. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. Be good, America.